2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Attention.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
Attention.
With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 1280 The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSL Sports. Thanks for hanging out with us. Tons going on today. A little bit of a market update for you. The Dow Jones Industrial today, relatively flat, just up 9 points on your market today. A nice little rally in the afternoon there after it was down 700 points. But then here we are, just a touch in the green. That market update brought to you by the folks at TriDayTrading.com. It's TriDayTrading.com. Kicking off the show, as we always do, we're going to have a guest right out of the gates, too. She covers the Utah Utes for KSLSports.com. So let's get to the cut, and let's get to Michelle Bodkin without further ado.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We're good. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad.
We're already arguing, Michelle, about a lot of these players in the 1660, as our ballots are staring us all in the face here, and it means we got to do a lot more homework about all these players on all these teams across the state and all these guys who are really exceptional athletes. And at some point, you kind of go, man, there are a lot of dudes on this list that I don't know enough about. But when it comes down to it, Cam Rising, is he just like an automatic number one for you? I think Scott kind of put him there. Or is this one of the – is he the number one player in the state of Utah, or do you have somebody different on your list?
I haven't thought about this too hard. Initial thought is yes, I think Cam probably is my number one guy. I have been kind of trying to play with, you know, who comes after that and jockeying around. And I need to decide how I'm going to determine, you know, importance and impact of these guys. I think a lot of it's going to be determined upon what kind of season each team is expected to have and how important it is to have certain guys perform well in order to achieve those goals or exceed those goals. But with that being said, to me, at least without doing any homework, any research just yet, I it's hard for me to argue that it's not Cam Rising that's number one.
So the and that's a good choice.
That was Scott's choice too. There you go. Well, it's my choice too. Yeah. I can't look at it across the board and go, who's going to have the biggest impact or who can have the least impact? And have them to be the quarterback too. And what it is right now, the one of the most successful times in University of Utah's history, and not be the guy that's going to be considered the most important player in the state. So, but then there's a part two. There's part of me that goes, yeah, but on the NFL side of things, is he an NFL quarterback? I don't know.
He potentially could be. I don't know. So, very interesting news this week. The Pac-12 essentially ditches divisions. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I think with just the grand scheme of how things are going, do what protects your conference the most, because obviously the Pac-12 all on their own is not getting that level of respect from the national side. So do things that help to protect, you know, your best assets. And I think doing away with the divisions helps in that from the standpoint of, you have your top two ranked teams going in and playing each other. And so, you know, depending on who wins and who loses and by how much and some of that kind of stuff, you know, you're potentially setting up two teams to look really good instead of, well, you know, the North Division super weak this year or the South Division super weak this year. So, of course, you know, the top out of the opposite is going to, you know, blow that team out of the water type of thing. I think it helps protect that a little bit. It's a little more convincing when it's literally the top two teams in your conference that perform the best going head-to-head. And hopefully that will garner a little more respect for the Pac-12. You know, it remains to be seen. We'll see how this works out for them. But I overall like the move. I think it was a necessary thing to do.
As you look at kind of, you know, across the board, excuse me, the Pac-12, is this a potential for this conference to get better this year? I mean, do you see as a conference everything getting a little bit better, elevated a little bit more with USC status or, because I know that's something that George Kliavkoff is always trying to figure out. How can we still be in that conversation as not just a P5 that everybody kind of goes, yeah, but not really a P5. Look at how everybody else is doing it. Where's their status among all the other conferences right now?
Unfortunately, I think it's kind of towards the bottom, and I don't know how correct that honestly is. I think we judge college football in a very weird way. We seem to love conferences that have one true, clear, dominant person, and then everyone else is just kind of okay. Whereas the Pac-12 is one of those conferences that any given week, anybody can beat anyone. And For me, I sit there and I think about it, well, who honestly plays the tougher schedule? If your top team potentially could be in any given week because the rest of the teams are decent, you know, doesn't that say a little bit more about that conference than it does about some of the ones that just kind of cruise through their schedule? But I digress. That's a little outside of my pay grade. Nobody cares about my opinion on that. But I think the Pac-12 has been making moves to try and elevate their status in the college football world. I think it started with hiring Kliavkoff. He's just a very shrewd individual. If you've ever listened to him talk and, you know, give his thoughts on, you know, some of the moves that the conference needs to make and why they've had some of the problems that they have in the past, and him reaching across the table to try and get people on his side is very strategic, and I think that can only help the Pac-12. It's very, very different than, you know, under Larry Scott, who was very standoffish, very defensive about, you know, the way he was running things, whereas George is wanting to improve and is clearly making moves to improve things for the Pac-12. And then, of course, yeah, you have, you know, this blockbuster hire. You bring in a guy like Riley to come and coach USC, and you're starting to kind of get national attention out west again. And then, of course, you know, sidebars are you know, how's Utah going to fare against USC, and how's Oregon going to fare against USC now that this guy is here coaching? And, you know, whether or not that's fair to those teams and their individual accomplishments, you know, press is press. And the Pac-12 just had a really hard time getting any kind of press. And so even if you get side press from someone else's hire, I think it's only a good thing. Now, of course, USC, they're going to have to perform, and we'll see if that comes about. But, you know, for the time being, at least getting some headlines for the Pac-12 can't hurt either.
Going back to getting away from the divisions and what that looks like going forward, how do you see the conference scheduling teams, because there's a rotation and it works through, you know, the North and South divisions, and but then there's also this traditional rivalries with Oregon and Oregon State and Washington State, USC, UCLA kind of thing. How do you schedule and still maintain those rivalries moving forward?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's going to be something that I think, you know, we're going to be watching very closely. Hard to say what the Pac-12 will do. I mean, honestly, they could still technically keep the divisions. It gives everybody another little thing to play for, even though it doesn't necessarily matter in the grand scheme of, you know, seeding necessarily every year for the
Pac-12. It matters in the NBA.
This is true. It does matter in the NBA. But, you know, I mean, I think they could still make that work. The other option is they could go round robin. But, yeah, that does kind of mean that you end up sacrificing some of these rivalries. You might have teams upset that one year, you know, they're not in California. As we all know, California is kind of a big recruiting area for everybody in the conference. And so, you know, those are all things that they're going to have to be mindful of and take into account when they decide ultimately what they're going to do with this changeover. Hard to say what they're going to plan on doing. I'm interested to see, but I don't really know what move they're going to make in that regard.
Michelle Botkin, KSLSports.com. As we can see her byline, as she covers the Utah Utes, our Ute insider for KSL Sports. As you kind of go into the summer here, and you see what's going on the NIL side of things across the country, and you see the back and forth of these coaches and how difficult recruiting really has become in an era when it definitely has come into that NIL number, and that money is important to all these guys. If they want to go to a school where they know they can get paid, how does the University of Utah kind of figure out how to have a balance there of not being a school that's just going to try to be throwing money out there, but still try to compete and win some of these really, really big recruits?
Yeah, that's also a really good question. And I know there's a lot of concern about, you know, what that's going to look like for Utah. I think even if Utah had the money, I don't think they're just not that kind of program really across the board. You know, the whole athletic department really is kind of this family atmosphere. You see it across, we hear it the most with football, but you kind of see it across all the rest of the programs within the athletic department. And so, you know, kind of, yes, there are stars on certain teams, and yes, those people will probably make more money, but it's not in a way that it's selfish, if that makes sense. These aren't people that are totally obsessed with themselves and obsessed with what they get out of, you know, being at this program. They're still very much team players. And so part of it, I think, is going to be still looking for those types of players across the board. You know, people that are very good at what they do, but they're humble about it. They work hard. They're good teammates. You know, all that typical stuff that we're kind of used to seeing with the University of Utah. But then you have to talk money as well. And I don't think based off of what I've seen from the athletes Utah currently has, they have to offer a lot. They just have to prove that there's opportunities there. And so, you know, I know fans hate hearing this, and I know that they don't love this, but that requires some fan involvement. And it could be as simple as showing up to someone's meet and greet one time and paying for an autograph, or it could be as intensive as investing in, you know, one of the NLIs and making a consistent investment. But I think Utah just needs to be able to show that people are somewhat on board with this, and that, again, these kids have some opportunity to just help take some of the stress and strain off of cost of living and some of that kind of stuff. Most of the people I've talked to, these kids are not asking for a lot. Right. The kids that they bring into Utah, you know, they just simply want to be able to maybe go out on a date, or, you know, pay their rent, or, you know, just simple things like that. They're not looking for this big lavish stuff, and I think it's easy to get caught up in those headlines.
Michelle Botkin, KSLSports.com. Michelle, we appreciate you joining us on the program, and we'll talk to you next week again.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Have a great show.
There you go. All right. We'll take the break here. KSLSports.com. That's where you can read the byline there for Michelle. We've got tons to get through still on this program on a Friday, of course. That opening segment of the show always brought to you by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utes all trust. Go to uofuhealth.org for more information. uofuhealth.org, proud sponsors of The Cut. We're going to take the break. We'll come back. We are here at the warehouse, though, so we're going to throw some headphones on Tom Curl right now, man. Let's just jump right in here. Tom, you're looking at me like you've never been on the radio before, but it's that time of the show, man. We got to get you on here. Let's go. We've got dills to give out here. I love how during the break, too, we just start buying things. Scott's got a thing of sheets. I'm going to go over and get some sheets before I leave. But if people get good enough deals,
you never leave the warehouse.
You can't leave the warehouse empty-handed. No. So tell people what they can come in and get great deals on today.
Well, let's do one more of our I love it. What are the odds?
Okay. Some numbers.
What are the odds that we're going to do a deal on an adjustable bed today?
Oh, probably pretty high.
What are the odds? Is it the Frank Layton 100%?
I'm going to go with a Warren Sapp 99% chance. It's just a small chance that Tom doesn't give out those
deals.
That's
like when it's raining outside and you say there's a 90%
chance
of rain.
It's already raining outside and you go, yeah, I'd say 95%.
It's going to rain deals on adjustable beds right now.
Let's do it.
And it's coming hot and it's coming heavy. I've got a queen, and this is that absolutely incredible mattress. Hybrid gel-infused memory foam queen mattress. Retail is $3,500 on it. You might find it on sale for $1,599. I'm going to do it with an adjustable bed, and Mike tells me there's only three at that price for $1,249.
Boom!
That's a boom.
And if you want it delivered, we're going to do it for
$1,299. Mmm.
Huh? Yeah.
Oh, they're over here negotiating. This is what I love.
Yes.
Tom goes, whatever I say goes. Let's do it.
We also are going to do a queen mattress. This is a 9.5-inch, 480 coils. This is a mattress that sells typically for $399. We're going to do it for $199.
Oh, boy.
Boom.
That's a double boom.
That's a boom.
Nice.
And then we're going to do the twin. And if you remember, Art, the twin is normally $299. We sell it for $249 normally.
Okay.
Right.
We then marked it down to $229.
Yes.
Okay. I then went nuts 1 week.
You went crazy.
$179.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And I had a meeting this week with my psychiatrist.
And?
For my hospital PTSD.
Said you could go lower, didn't they?
He goes, look, I think you're going to feel better.
No, he just told me, Tom, you're crazy.
Oh. I thought he was going to, you'll feel better if you can mark those down even more. And he came in and bought a few. No, what's the deal?
$159.
No.
Boom. You are crazy.
You
twin
are kind
mattress.
Of nuts.
How many of those do we have? Boom.
He held it. Mike holds up the boom sign as if you have to get
have
Tom
like
cue.
Have signs.
Tom's got a cue. You don't need to cue card Tom on the boom. All right.
How many of those do we have, Mike?
Four of those twin mattresses.
Oh, get
Let's
in here.
I thought we had more. I thought
we had
a lot.
Did. You did, except for you went nuts last
week. Twin. $159. Miranda's.
Oh,
30
yeah,
of
got 30.
Them.
Oh, yeah.
So if you need to do your cabin up at Bear Lake or your rental up in Park City.
Couple of spare bedrooms.
This is the time.
Or if you're Alex and you have six kids.
Will you stop?
It's like lots of bedrooms.
Or if you're my grandmother and you had 14 kids.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
My heavens. There you
go.
You
need some twin mattresses. We have them. Last but not least, I've got to talk about financing. We have not gotten our tax return at our house. And there's still people out there. Mike hasn't got his tax return.
Maybe they're waiting on it. And they're going, well, I'll get the tax return, then I'll go to the warehouse.
Don't sweat it. Come down here. We'll get you approved. Same as cash. 90 days or 100 days. We have two programs. We'll get you approved.
Is it pretty easy
no
to get
interest.
Approved, too?
All you have to do is have a job.
Mm-hmm.
And a checking account.
But no interest for those 90 days.
No interest for
Same
90
thing.
Days.
And
That's
you
awesome.
Have to be breathing.
You got to be alive.
Yeah. You have to make payments during the 90 days.
Right. Yeah.
But if you pay it off in 90 days, there's no interest.
Right. Sure.
Boom.
Okay. There
boom.
You go. There's your boom prices. And we're going to do more of these. So if you're around and if you want to come down Salt Lake City, downtown, what's not even downtown? It's just east of the Costco. Okay. That's where the warehouse is. 1825 South, 300 West. Come in, you'll see the zone truck outside.
I feel bad because we always discriminate. We're also just barely north of the Sam's Club.
Of the Sam's Club. That's true.
Oh, good point.
North of Sam's, east of Costco's. All right?
Northeast of Home Depot.
Of
too.
Home Depot. So there you go. So you just throw all the companies out here. But bottom line is, we're going to be here. Tom's going to be doing these Memorial Day prices all the way through Memorial Day weekend. But starting now, get a head start. Boom prices, 1825 South, 300 West. We're going to come back. More to go right here on Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Chip Update with Brian Taylor is brought to you by Mountain Land Supply, Zions Bank, Hope's Vision, Siegfried & Jensen, and Black Desert Resort. And now, Real Golf Radio's Brian Taylor.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is 97.5, 1280, The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSL Sports. Thanks for being with us on the program today. Thanks for hanging out. We've got a lot that we're doing on a Friday. I mean, it's busy. Going into the weekend, when it comes to sports, is usually already pretty busy. But even more so when we're talking about a major in golf, the PGA Championships down at Southern Hills there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Joining us on the program, he is one of the hosts of Real Golf Radio right here on the Zone Sports Network. Brian Taylor joining us on the program. What's day two? What's day two looking like on the PGA Championship? I mean, we're switching things around. That's the way we like it.
Yeah, it is a tale of two halves, we'll call it. You know, you've got the morning wave who came out early, faced some really, really difficult winds this morning. In fact, the winds were so bad that the PGA of America decided not to cut the greens before round number two. That's somewhat of an unprecedented move because they were afraid if they got them too fast and too slick with the high winds, balls would be rolling around on these slopey greens. And so, you know, the players that hope to get out there early with nice fresh greens weren't able to get those fresh greens. But Justin Thomas played some phenomenal golf in tough conditions. And then the afternoon group shows up and the winds pretty much quit. They almost subside completely and guys are able to kind of start pouring on a little bit. And that's what we're seeing Will Zalatoris and Mito Pereira do out there right now, both players at 8 under par. So it really kind of a unique situation. I would definitely say the players that went early, late, got the better end of the draw as opposed to the late, early.
With all that being said, who do you like going into the weekend? Who seems like they've got their game together and is really poised to win this?
I mean, usually when you look at a major championship, you start looking at the best players in the world. You know, you start to see a sifting process that takes place, cream rising to the top, that sort of thing. So in this case, you're looking at this leaderboard and you go, well, you've got Justin Thomas, who has won a PGA championship, who has been playing some great golf and just hasn't been able to break through with a win of late. And then you've got, you know, Rory McIlroy, who had a phenomenal first round, 65. He's not quite firing on all cylinders, but he's still there at 4 under par, 4 shots back. So I would start looking at those players, and Rory's a two-time winner of the PGA Championship. But Will Zalatoris is a guy who has just played well in big events for being such a young player. You know, he's only played one PGA Championship. That was last year, and he finished 8th. And then he's been actually trending of late. He had a runner-up at the Farmers. He tied for 5th at match play. Tied for 6th at the Masters. He's played really well at Augusta in the last couple of years. Tied for 4th at New Orleans in that partner event. And then he just sort of had the missed cut last week and I think fell out of everybody's radar going in this week. But, you know, his stats are phenomenal. He's the best ball striker on tour right now and probably a guy we should have been talking more about. But he's still in search of his first win. 4 other players have made the PGA Championship their first win, but he wasn't somebody that you thought would be the guy coming in, but he's playing phenomenal. He's putting really well, and that's been a struggle for him of late.
You know, I was when I tuned in this morning, I thought, okay,
This is where I'm going to watch John Rahm and Scottie Scheffler just like they're going to turn things around and it's going to go really, really well. And who shocked you the most of not performing very well? In my mind, Scottie Scheffler has had a really, really tough go these last couple of days here and just not the guy that we've been used to seeing as one of the number one players in the world.
Yeah, Scottie Scheffler is the best player in the world. Number one, he's coming as Masters champion, and he loves this golf course. I think he even made comments that this is one of his favorite golf courses. And so really surprising that he played so poorly this week, especially where he's been on this kind of a run, right? I mean, he's just won four times, and, he's got a major. He's just kind of shredding it. And so for him to come out and shoot 71, 75 and miss the cut with a double bogey on the last hole, look, he makes par on the last hole, which was the ninth. He gets in on the number and he makes double bogey. So yeah, he's not happy with it. He's frustrated, but it happens. That's golf. And sometimes it just doesn't go your way. And, Scottie Scheffler for sure was the biggest surprise. John Rahm has been a surprise just the way and that opening 73, but he came back with 69, played some good golf in tough conditions. He's at plus two, so he's currently 10 shots back, which is a lot, but there's still a lot that can happen. With the weather being how it is, guys can come out tomorrow morning on those fresh greens and they could actually go out and start posting some numbers and let the players at the top feel the pressure a little bit. And I would guess that Zalatoris and Mito Pereira are going to feel a little bit of pressure if that, in fact, ends up being the final group. So, is 10 shots too much for John Rahm? Likely, but, amazing things can happen around. These guys are so good.
What is the weather supposed to be like over the weekend? Because it clearly has been a factor so far.
Yeah, it's going to actually get a little bit better. As I mentioned, the weather, the temperatures are going to cool down. It's, oh my gosh, it was blistering hot all week long. And so it's actually going to calm down as far as the temperature. And then, like Saturday, we're looking at 62 degrees for a high. I mean, that's unheard of. It felt like it was 100 degrees. Most of the week. So we're going to be looking at 62. There's going to be some winds, 10 to 20, not so bad, but maybe a touch of rain in there, which will keep the golf course soft and receptive. And then Sunday just looks absolutely perfect. 69 for a high, partly cloudy, and, just light winds. I mean, it's kind of like, out there in Oklahoma, it's sort of like Lehigh. When it's 10 to 15 mile an hour winds, that's just normal. You don't even notice it. So,
you know what? From now on, anytime I refer to Lehigh, I'll go, the Oklahoma, the Tulsa of Utah County. Tulsa of the West. BT, one of the things we're looking forward to with you guys on Real Golf Radio this weekend, you and Bob Casper being able to bring some of these amazing interviews that you guys get throughout the week. You guys have so many great connections. What can we expect on the show tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, just we'll do what we do. We're going to, be talking with some of the players here from some of those that are in contention. We've got a couple of our favorite golf writers that we like to bounce some of the ideas off of. America's favorite caddy who joins us every week. We'll get his take on this golf course and what we've seen so far. And then Bob and I, giving some analysis and opinion. And it's fun. I mean, we still enjoy it 23 years later and still covering golf. And I know that Tiger's not the story on top of the leaderboard, but this story that continues to unfold this afternoon with him right on the cut line, grinding it out in his physical condition and lack of reps, if you will, out there, competitive golf reps, is still pretty phenomenal. He's still the story, and it's fun to see him out there grinding. So we'll definitely be talking about that and hopefully talking about him playing on the weekend.
Yeah,
It looks like he's going to make it.
Yeah, well, hopefully. I'm only getting the that he's plus four here through 13. So maybe I'm not up to date. But yeah, I think that's such a huge thing, BT. That everybody, I mean, the average person will go, I will tune into a major this weekend because they see Tiger Woods' name on there. Even though there's amazing golf being played, but it's just such a mainstream draw from people who normally don't dip in. That's why Tiger's so huge.
Oh, yeah. And he transcends the sport. The hardcore golf fans are going to tune in. They're going to be like, oh, yeah, Will Zalatoris. He burst onto the scene at the Masters last year. He was a great junior golfer in Texas, and he's now on with his putter. So let's see what he's got going on, where other people don't even know that how to pronounce his name. And, Mito Pereira. And you see Pereira and Zalatoris, and you start thinking you're watching a different tour. But, yeah, so – If Tiger's name gets up there, everybody goes, oh, wait, what? Yeah, I want to watch Tiger. And, sure. And that's the galleries are the same thing on site.
Well, what do you know about Mito Pereira?
Well, he's playing in his first PGA Championship. It's his first year on tour. And, I mean, he's... I think he's a little out of his element. If he goes on to win, good for him. I mean, yeah. I'm not going to take anything away from this. I think he won three times on the Corn Ferry Tour, twice last year. So, again, this is a guy who's playing his first year on the PGA Tour, and he's just, you know, he's taking advantage. Like I said, he got a good end of the draw. The golf course is actually playing fairly, I don't want to say easy, but considering what is the players have faced so far, it's playing as easy as it could. And he's taken advantage of it. So good for him. I mean, all these guys, just reminds you how deep these guys are. All these guys are good. They're capable of playing. And it has changed somewhat. When we first started doing the show, it was, hey, you got to come out and cut your teeth and you'll win your majors in your 30s. You don't just come out and win majors. Tiger changed that. And these kids grew up watching Tiger do that. And so they're just not afraid to step up in the biggest stage and say, hey, this one's going to be my turn, and I'm going to go out and win this. I don't care what, you know, the old guys say you're supposed to do right out here. And so we've seen that, you know, throughout the years, especially over the last 10 years. And, you know, who knows? Maybe Pereira makes a name for himself this week.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing. I always think when I was a kid, John Daly, you know, bursts onto the scene with a PGA Championship, and I think that we all kind of were like, what's this guy doing? You know, when you win a major and you're that kind of unknown and you have a wild look to you, like, we kind of love that story of, I have no idea who this guy is, and he's hoisting a trophy. He's hoisting a major trophy, you know, out there on the course. And so I love those kinds of stories, and I don't care if I don't recognize who they are. Maybe that happens at the Masters periodically, too, when you go, I guess this guy's going to have a green jacket the rest of his life, and maybe it's the only time. I mean, it happens, right? You watch those guys, and you go, man, I guess he's a Masters champion. But, you know, I always love those stories, too. But Will Zalatoris is one of those guys who's been – he's had a great, you know, 16, 18 months. And, you know, I think people have been waiting for him to kind of make a move like this. And so I think he's one of those guys people would like to see win, too. So
he would be fun. He's entertaining. He's got a fun style. He's a little bit of a kind of a gunslinger style, you know, if you will, sort of a Brett Favre approach to golf. And so I think he's going to be fun to watch. And he likes the stage. He seems very comfortable.
I know. I'm waiting for one of those matchups between Will Zalatoris and Cameron Smith. Just the battle of like these like skinny, you know. I mean, in Cameron Smith's case, that wild hair and the weird mustache. You just go, this guy's a pirate out here playing on the golf course. But we're excited about it. BT, thanks for your input this week. It's been fun talking to you.
Always a pleasure to be with you guys. And, yeah, thanks for tuning in tomorrow morning, 6 to 9, and we'll catch up with you again.
Real Golf Radio, BT and Bob Casper tomorrow. Don't want to miss it. 6 a.m., 9 a.m. to is what you're – I was on to say 6 a.m. to 9 p.m., so you don't want to do that
long of a show.
Well, on a major weekend, you got to do more.
They had a lot of interviews.
Yeah, for sure. All right, there you go. More to go on the program. We've got a ton to jump into before I get out here. Do you snore at night? Are you using a CPAP machine to help treat that sleep apnea? Sound Sleep Medical can improve your life. Go to soundsleepmedical.com for more information. That's soundsleepmedical.com. And let's figure this thing out. Let's get it done. Taking the break. Coming back. More to go. We're at the Warehouse, 1825 South, 300 West in Salt Lake City. Stay right here. Unrivaled continues. 97.5, 1280, The Zone.
Attention. This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. Attention. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome on in. It's another edition of Unrivaled on a Friday. Alex Keery, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell. We are sitting on the suite sectional here at the Warehouse in Salt Lake, just east of the Costco, just north of the Sam's Club. You get where we're at now, 1825 South, 300 West. Come down. So Scott got sheets, and so I got jealous. So during the break, I went over and bought some more sheets. So
it's kind of whatever I can do, you can do better.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
Well, yeah. Honey, we got new sheets.
I'm sure she's listening.
I know. Isn't that the best when you? I just know. I'll get home and she'll be like, huh? Or she might have somebody text her and goes, I heard you got new sheets. I'll go, oh, you were listening? No, no, someone texted me and said they were listening. Well, there you go. So there we got some sheets taken care of. Tom made me feel them out too. They're buttery soft. So if you want to, well, I mean, not feel them up. I don't know. What do you say about sheets? I feel them. I felt them. There you go. Scott, we got to kick off this next portion of the show here. Got a lot still to get through, so I wanted to bring this one up with you. We ran out of time before we could ask Michelle Bodkin about it. But this whole thing that kind of interests me about Cam Rising and his Heisman. I don't know if it's just Yogi Roth trying to like be nice,
patronize to us,
like kind of condescend a little bit and be like, you guys got a nice guy out there in Salt Lake. Now, Yogi does all of his homework, and he's also not the kind of guy that just goes, yeah, no, Cam Rising should be a Heisman candidate. He doesn't go on Arizona Sports Radio and go, you know, Jaden DeLauro, that's Heisman candidate material right there.
Right.
You know, he doesn't –
say that he liked every program in the Pac-12.
He did.
He was like
– there's something about every one of them.
Cal has got
– so I'm telling you guys right now.
In Arizona –
Oregon State, that stadium rebuild is looking really nice.
It actually is.
See? You can fall for anything like, at some point. So my question
Oregon State is a cool campus.
Is there a way that Andy Ludwig can produce a Heisman candidate, a Heisman caliber quarterback? Or is it just not even possible in the offense that he puts together? And it's no offense to him. It's just that's not what you get out of that kind of an offense.
Utah, it kind of had a shift a year ago, and it really went to offense rule today, and that's not been the trend with Kyle Whittingham and his program. I think as he's matured in the Pac-12 and realized that the trend in college football and football in general is actually moving towards more of an open up spread offense, you know, high octane, let's go kind of deal. And I think Kyle's kind of embraced that, but I also think he has a quarterback that can do it. And Cam Rising certainly can do it. But there's still this level of balance at Utah that's, you know, probably, I don't know, more than most teams where they really have relied on a running game and shortening football games and playing to their defense. And that's still there, but I think they can actually do it. I really do. You saw kind of that Ohio State game in the Rose Bowl, and you kind of go,
oh, they could open this thing up.
They could open this thing up, and there are certainly the weapons there. Money Parks is a guy that, you know, isn't even on that top 60 list. He's a guy with a lot of talent. Vele is a good wide receiver. You've got Kincaid, you've got Keithy. There's a lot of weapons there, and you've got a quarterback that can throw it to him. So there's the potential to open it up.
I was actually a little bit surprised that Chaz Ayu wasn't on the 1660 list. That Hanson Scotty didn't have Chaz Ayu on there. Are there a couple? Is it like one of these guys they just missed, or am I totally missing the thing? Like, is his production falling off that much? I know he's been injury prone. He's had a couple things where, you know, those have taken him out for a while. But athlete wise, and playing at the next level wise, that's a guy who should probably be on that list. Yeah. I don't know why he's not on there. But
well, you switched tunes on me. Now we went from Cam Rising.
No, it was bugging me.
Yeah.
I was thinking about the 1660 list.
Oh.
I think Chaz Ayu could be a Heisman Trophy candidate. We were just talking about.
I mean, could Logan Bonner? Could no. Jaren Hall?
No, I don't think right now. No, I think that the possibility is there with Cam Rising because the visibility is there. But Jaren Hall is getting more pub than we even saw probably Zach Wilson before he went into his year that last year that they that they were playing. Now, it helped that they were the only game in town for a while, like the only game that was, you know, interesting for a while in town. And so when they rolled in and Zach Wilson's on your TV and he's throwing for 320 yards and four touchdowns and he looks like he's slinging the ball like insane. But that's the only thing you could watch that weekend was just Zach Wilson throwing against Texas State. then there you go. That's the visibility really, really, really helps. So obviously that's part of it. All right. Tom Curl's on the horn here with us. So Tom is in his usual recliner here. We're in our usual sectional. But these boom prices are not the usual. So while we might be getting comfortable with, like, hey, this is a setup we're used to, you've got even bigger deals on a weekend where we're going into the week before Memorial Day, but those prices have already started. Let's get it going.
I'm going to do another what are the odds?
Okay. What do you got?
What are the odds?
What are the odds on Steve Silver Furniture today?
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So you guys just got a big shipment, too, right? I mean, this is like a bunch of Steve Silver stuff came in. Nice.
Incredible stuff.
High-end stuff.
Reclining power sectionals, reclining power sofa loves, manual reclining sofa loves, manual reclining sectionals.
We got that fabric people love, too.
Yes.
The nice, that stuff that's like really popping.
Beautiful stuff. And I need to think of a player.
Okay.
Do we want to do maybe?
Those were a lot of numbers you just threw at me there. So I don't know. I was missing it. So are you talking about a okay
BYU running back going to the NFL right now?
Tyler Allgeier. 25%?
25%.
So I was thinking of Richard Sherman, but you went even better. You found a Coug.
I was hoping you would come up with
it. I thought there was a 27 you were almost throwing in there. I go, don't go too crazy.
I almost went 27.
Well, I was, whew.
Gave a little love to the Utah Jazz, but we'll come back to that.
Rudy Gobert.
25% off all Steve Silver, and that's an incredible deal. That's not a deal where I'm closing it out. That is brand new stuff. That does not happen.
Okay. Well, that's a good start.
We also want to remind everybody we're going to do Scott Mitchell plus Robbie Bosco, 25.
Well, 25%.
Don't go crazy. Let's do like a Mark Wilson. 6%. Same number. That's the joke. They both wore six.
No, I don't want to go clear back to Mark Wilson. That's
fine. Luke Staley, another six there.
Robbie Bosco has a national championship. Scott Mitchell has
not a national championship.
No.
Hey. Scott Mitchell has a championship T-shirt.
Championship heart.
The brand champion.
Oh yeah,
actually, I do. Believe it or not, that was a thing back when I was playing champion gear.
Yeah.
Wore a lot of champion gear.
Hey, Scott. Hey, look, Scott's the leading passer in University of Utah history. So
I know,
and I did it left-handed.
Yeah,
I did it all left-handed.
Maybe we need to have the discussion.
Didn't you ever?
Who's the best left-hander ever to play in Utah?
Oh,
Steve Young or Scott Mitchell?
We don't want to get in that debate.
Yes, we do.
No, we really don't.
I got Steve sitting next to me, and I got Scott sitting next to me. I'm picking Scott.
Oh man. Come on.
My man.
See,
right
look at
here.
This. Look at that. The old fist bump. If we're just going off of college, you might not be wrong.
No.
Steve Young did his best work in the NFL, and so sometimes he gets a little bit more of a bump.
I said
post.
Utah. Now, I didn't say NFL.
Oh, okay. Right.
The state of Utah College.
Right.
Who's the best player?
I know. People give him a bump just because of the NFL stuff. That's why.
So that's we're not talking about furniture, but.
No, we aren't.
Everybody knows. Come to the warehouse. We're going to give you the best deal. And I'm going to make a request from Megan. Could you play a little California Dreamin' the next music break? Because I'm dreaming California because I'm moving there.
How long are you going to be there, though?
I'm going to be there a couple of months, maybe 3 months.
Are we still going to be able to talk to you over the horn?
I'm going to be calling in.
Are you going to make Clayton do some of the work here, too?
Well, if I'm really sick after these treatments, Clayton will be calling.
That's the only way you get Clayton involved. If I really can't do it, if I really have to.
Have you seen his face? It's kind of ugly.
It's your kid, man. You can say whatever you want.
I know. We got to find him a wife, and with that face, it's hard.
Tom's rolling out the deals. It's basically already Memorial Day here at the warehouse, so you're going to get Memorial Day pricing. You're going to get the best prices right here. 1825 South, 300 West in Salt Lake City, just east of the Costco, just north of the Sam's Club. Let's take the quick break. We'll come back. We're going to still speak with Tom next hour. So, boom prices, the warehouse. right here at 1825 South 300 Wells, 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.